Oh, I am not saying that. I know my face is a deep red by now.
Come on, it's just a little blood.
You're disgusting.
Bloody amazing.
He smiles, obviously proud of his ridiculous joke. You're obnoxious.
You need to lighten up. Learn to go with the flow.
He laughs harder. Oh my God, okay, if I say it, will you stop with the menstrual jokes?
I'm not making jokes. Period.
His laugh is contagious, and it feels great to be lying in bed laughing with Harden, despite the subject of conversation. Harden, I'm on my period. I just started right before you got home. There, are you happy?
Why are you embarrassed by it?
I'm not. I just don't think it's something that women should discuss.
It's not a big deal. I don't mind a little blood.
He presses himself against me. I scrunch my nose. You're gross.
I've been called worse.
He smiles. You're in a good mood today, I point out.
Maybe you would be too if it wasn't that time of the month.
I groan and grab the pillow from behind me to cover my face. Can we please talk about something else? I say through the pillow.
Sure, sure. Someone's bloody panties are in a twist.
He laughs. I pull the pillow from my face and hit him in the head with it before climbing off the bed. I hear him laughing as he opens the dresser to find a pair of pants, I assume. It's early, only 7 in the morning, but I'm wide awake. I start a pot of coffee and make myself a bowl of cereal. I can't believe Christmas is over. In a few days, the year will be over. What do you usually do to celebrate the new year? I ask Harden when he sits down at the table in white cotton drawstring pants.
Go out, usually.
Go where?
Parties, or a club, or both. Last year was both.
Oh. I hand him the bowl of cereal.
What would you like to do?
I'm not sure. I want to go out, I think, I answer. He raises one eyebrow.
You do?
Yeah, don't you?
I don't really give a shit what we do, but if you want to go out, that is what we shall do.
He brings a spoonful of Frosted Flakes to his mouth. Okay, I say, unsure of where we'll go. I make myself another bowl. Are you going to ask your father if we can stop by today? I ask him and take a seat next to him.
I don't know.
Maybe they could come here? I suggest. Harden's eyes narrow.
I don't think so.
Why not? You'd be more comfortable here, right? He closes his eyes for a moment before opening them again.
I guess. Let me call them in a bit.
I finish my breakfast quickly and stand up from the table.
Where are you going?
He asks. To clean, obviously.
Clean what? The place is spotless.
No, it's not, and I want it to be perfect if we're having guests over. I rinse my bowl and place it in the dishwasher. You could help clean, you know, since you're the one who makes most of the mess, I point out.
Oh no, you're much better at cleaning than I am.
He gestures at the cereal box. I roll my eyes but give it to him. I don't mind cleaning because, honestly, I like things a certain way, and Harden's version of cleaning isn't actually cleaning. He just shoves things wherever they'll fit.
Oh, and don't forget that we need to go to the store to get your plugs.
He laughs. Stop calling them that. I throw a dish towel at his face, and he laughs harder at my embarrassment. Chapter 50. Tessa. After the apartment is clean to my standards, I go to the store to get tampons and a few things in case Ken, Karen, and Landon come over. Harden tried to accompany me, but I knew he'd be teasing me about the tampons the entire time, so I made him stay home. When I return, he's sitting in the same spot on the couch. Have you called your father yet? I ask from the kitchen.
No, I was waiting for you,
he replies, then wanders into the kitchen and sits down at the table with a sigh.
I'll call now.
I nod and sit across from him while he presses his phone to his ear.
Hey.
Harden says into the receiver. Then he sets the phone to speaker and places it on the table between us.
Harden?
Ken's voice is surprised.
Yeah. Look. I was wondering if you wanted to come over or something. Come over?
Harden looks up at me and I can tell that his patience is already wearing thin. My hand moves across the table to rest atop his, and I nod in encouragement.
Yeah. You, Karen, and Landon, We can exchange gifts since we didn't yesterday. Mom's gone,
he says.
You're sure that's okay?
Ken asks his son.
I just asked, didn't I?
Harden says, and I squeeze his hand.
I mean, yeah, that's fine.
He corrects, and I smile at him.
Okay, well, let me talk to Karen, but I know she'll be thrilled. What time will be good for you?
Harden looks at me. I mouth too, and he tells his father.
Okay, well, we'll see you at 2. Tessa will text Landon the address,
Harden says, and hangs up the phone. That wasn't so bad, right? I ask. He rolls his eyes.
Sure.
What should I wear? He gestures to my jeans and WCU t-shirt.
That.
Definitely not. This is our Christmas.
No, it's the day after Christmas, so you should wear jeans.
He smiles and his fingers tug at his lip ring. I'm not wearing jeans, I laugh, and head to the bedroom to decide what to wear. I'm holding my white dress to my chest in front of the mirror when Harden walks into the bedroom.
I don't know if wearing white is the best idea.
He smiles. For God's sake, stop it, I say.
You're cute when you're embarrassed.
I grab my maroon dress from the closet. This dress holds a lot of memories for me. I wore it to my first frat party with Steph. I miss Steph, despite all the anger I felt toward her. I feel betrayed by her, but at the same time, in a lot of ways, she was right when she said it wasn't fair for me to forgive Harden but not her.
What's going on in that mind of yours?
Harden questions. Nothing. I was just thinking of Steph.
What about her?
I don't know. I miss her, sort of. Do you miss your friends? I ask. He hasn't mentioned any of them since the letter.
No.
He shrugs.
I would rather spend my time with you.
I'm enjoying this, honest Harden, but I note, you could still spend time with them, too.
I guess. I don't know. I don't really care either way. Do you even want to be around them? You know, after everything?
His eyes focus on the floor. I don't know. But I'd be willing to try at least and see how it goes. Not Molly, though, I scowl. He looks up mischievously.
But the two of you are such great friends.
Ugh, enough about her. What do you think they'll do on New Year's Eve? I ask. I don't know how it will be to be around everyone, but I miss having friends, or what passed for friends.
There'll probably be a party. Logan is obsessed with New Year's. Are you sure you want to go out with them?
I smile. Yeah. If it blows up in my face, then we'll stay in next year. Harden's eyes widen when I mention next year, but I pretend I don't notice. I need our Christmas do-over to be peaceful today. I'm focusing on today. I need to make something for everyone to eat. I should have said 3. It's already noon and I'm not even ready. I rub my hands over my makeup-free face.
Go ahead and get ready. I'll make something,
Harden says, then smirks.
Just make sure you eat only what I put on your plate.
Joking about poisoning your father. Lovely, I tease. He shrugs and wanders off. I wash my face and apply light makeup before pulling my hair out of its ponytail and curling the ends. By the time I finish getting ready and get myself dressed, a wonderful garlic smell is coming from the kitchen. When I join Harden in the kitchen, I see he's laid out a couple of trays of fruit and vegetables and already set the table. I'm really impressed by what he's done, though I do have to fight the urge to rearrange a few things. I'm so glad that Harden was willing to invite his father over to our apartment, and even more relieved that he seems to be in a really good mood today. Checking the clock, I see our company will be here in 30 minutes, so I begin cleaning up the small mess Harden made while cooking and get the apartment spotless again. I wrap my arms around his waist as he stands in front of the oven. Thank you for doing all of this. He shrugs.
It's nothing.
Are you okay? I ask, and unwrap my arms and turn him to face me.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Are you sure you aren't a little nervous? I ask. I can tell he is.
No. Well, just a little. It's just weird as fuck to have him coming here, you know?
I know. I'm really proud of you for inviting him. I press my cheek against his chest and his hands move to my waist.
You are?
Of course I am, but... Harden?
What was that? What were you going to say?
I hide my face. Nothing. I don't know where the sudden urge to call him pet names comes from, but it's embarrassing.
Tell me.
He coos and lifts my chin to force me out of hiding. I don't know why, but I almost called you babe again. I bring my bottom lip between my teeth and his smile grows.
Go ahead. Call me it.
He says. You'll make fun of me. I smile weakly.
No, I won't. I call you baby all the time.
Yeah, but it's different when you do it.
How so?
I don't know. It's like sexier or something when you do. More romantic. I don't know. I flush.
You're awfully shy today.
He smiles and plants a kiss on my forehead.
I like it, though. So go ahead and call me it.
I hug him tighter. Okay.
Okay what?
Okay, babe. The word tastes strange rolling off of my tongue.
Again.
I let out a surprised squeak as he lifts me onto the cold countertop and stands between my legs. Okay, babe, I repeat. His cheeks are a deeper shade of pink than usual.
I really love that. It's, what did you say? Sexy and romantic?
He smiles. A sudden bravery makes me speak again. Is it, babe? I smile and bite my lip again.
Yes, incredibly sexy.
He presses his lips against my neck, and I shiver as his hands trail up my thighs.
Don't think these will keep me out.
His fingers draw circles on my black tights. They may not, but the...
You know, Will.
A knock at the door makes me jump, and Harden smiles and winks at me. As he walks to the door, he says over his shoulder,
Oh, baby, that won't either.
Chapter 51. Harden. When I open the door, my attention is immediately drawn to my dad's face. A deep purple bruise is clear on his cheek, and his bottom lip holds a small cut right down the center. I nod as my greeting to them, not knowing what the hell to say. Your place is so lovely. Karen smiles, and the three of them stand by the door, unsure what to do. Tessa saves all of us by walking into the room.
Come on in. You can put those by the tree,
she says to Landon, gesturing to the bag of gifts in his arms. We brought the gifts you left at the house as well, my dad says. The air is thick with tension. Not an angry tension, exactly, but really damn awkward tension. Tess smiles sweetly.
Thank you so much.
She's so good at making people feel welcome. At least one of us is. Landon walks to the kitchen first, followed by Karen and Ken. I reach for Tess's hand, using her as an anchor for my anxiety.
How was the drive?
Tessa tries to start conversation.
It wasn't too bad. I drove.
Landon answers. The conversation flows from uncomfortable at first to somewhat relaxed as we eat. In between courses, Tessa squeezes my hand under the table.
The food was excellent,
Karen compliments, looking at Tessa.
Oh, I didn't make it. Harden did,
Tessa tells her and places her hand on my thigh.
Really? It was delicious, Harden.
Karen smiles. I'd have been okay with Tessa taking the credit for the meal. Having four sets of eyes on me is making me want to vomit. Tessa applies more pressure to my leg, wanting me to say something. I look at Karen. Thanks, I say, and Tessa squeezes again, prompting me to offer Karen a really fucking awkward smile. After a few seconds of silence, Tessa stands up and grabs her plate from the table. She walks into the kitchen, and I debate whether or not to follow.
The food was really good, son. I'm impressed, my dad says, breaking the silence.
Yeah, it's just food,
I mumble. His eyes shift down, and I correct myself. I mean, Tessa's the better cook, but thanks. He seems pleased with my answer and takes a drink from his glass. Karen smiles awkwardly, staring at me with those weirdly, almost comforting eyes of hers. I look away. Tessa joins us before anyone else has a chance to compliment the food.
Well, should we open the gifts?
Landon asks.
Yes,
Karen and Tessa answer at the same time. I stay as close to Tessa as possible as we go into the living room. My dad, Karen, and Landon sit on the couch. I reach for Tessa's hand and gently pull her to sit on my lap in the chair. I see her look toward our guests, and Karen tries to hide a smile. Tessa looks away, embarrassed, but doesn't move from my lap. I lean up a little more and wrap my arm tighter around her waist. Landon stands and grabs the gifts. He passes them around, and I focus on Tessa and the way she gets excited over things like this. I love the way she's always so enthusiastic about everything, and I love the way she makes people comfortable, even on do-over Christmas. Landon hands her a small box marked From Ken and Karen. When she tears the wrapping paper off, a blue box with Tiffany & Co. written in silver scroll on the front is revealed.
What is it?
I ask quietly. I don't know shit about jewelry, but I know that brand is expensive.
A bracelet.
She extracts and dangles a silver chain link bracelet in front of me. A small bow-shaped charm and a heart hang from the expensive metal. The shiny object makes the bracelet on her wrist, my gift to her, look like complete shit.
Of course it is,
I say under my breath. Tessa frowns at me, then turns back to them.
It's beautiful. Thank you both so much.
She beams. She already... I begin to complain. I hate that they got her a better gift than mine. I get it. He has money. Couldn't they have gotten her something else? Anything else? But Tessa turns back to me, silently begging me not to make shit any more awkward. I sigh in defeat and lean back against the chair.
What's in yours?
Tessa smiles, trying to lighten my mood. She rests against me, kissing my forehead. She looks down at the box on the arm of the chair, hinting for me to open it. When I do, I hold the expensive contents up for her to see. A watch, I show her, trying to humor her the best I can. Honestly, I'm still fucking irritated about the bracelet. I wanted her to wear my bracelet every day. I wanted it to be her favorite gift. Chapter 52. Harden. Karen beams over the box of pans from Tessa.
I've been wanting this set all season.
Tessa thought I didn't notice that she added my name to the small snowman-shaped tags, but I did. I just didn't feel like crossing it out.
I feel like a jerk because I only got you a gift card when you got me these awesome tickets,
Landon says to Tessa. I have to admit that I'm happy for his impersonal present of a gift card for the e-reader that I got her for her birthday. If he had gotten something more thoughtful, it would have annoyed me. But with Tessa's caring smile, you'd think he bought her a fucking first-edition Austen novel. I still can't believe they got her an expensive bracelet. What show-offs? What if she wants to wear this new one instead of mine?
Thank you for the gifts. They're great.
My dad says and looks at me, holding up the keychain Tessa mistakenly chose for him. I feel a little guilty for his busted face, but at the same time, I find the weird colouring slightly amusing. I want to apologise for my outburst. Well, I wouldn't say I want to, but I need to. I don't want to go backward with him. It was sort of okay to spend time with him, I guess. Karen and Tessa get on pretty well, and I feel obligated to give her the chance to have a motherly figure around, since it's my fault her and her mother are on such bad terms. It's good for me in a fucked-up way that they are, because it's one less person in the way of us being together.
Harden?
Tessa's voice says into my ear. I look up at her and realize that one of them must have been talking to me.
Would you want to go with Landon to the game?
She asks.
What? No,
I say quickly.
Thanks, man.
Landon rolls his eyes.
I mean, I don't think Landon would want that.
I correct myself. Being decent is much harder than I thought it would be. I'm only doing this for her. Well, if I'm honest, it's a little for myself, as my mum's words that my anger will only give me busted hands and a lonely life keep repeating in my head.
Tessa and I can go if you won't,
Landon says to me. Why is he trying to annoy me when I'm trying to be nice for once? She smiles.
Yeah, I'll go with. I don't know anything about hockey, but I'll tag along.
Without thinking, I wrap my other arm around her waist and pull her against my chest.
I'll go.
I give in. Amusement is clear on Landon's face, and I can tell even with Tessa's back to me that she wears the same expression.
I really like what you guys have done to the place, Harden, my father says.
It came decorated mostly, but thanks,
I reply. I have come to the conclusion that it's less awkward when I'm punching him than when we're trying to avoid an argument. Karen smiles at me.
It was really nice of you to invite us over.
My life would be easier if she was a hideous bitch, but of course she's one of the nicest people I've ever met.
It's nothing, really.
After what's happened yesterday, it's the least I can do.
I know my voice sounds shakier and more strained than I want it to.
It's okay. Things happen, Karen assures me.
Not really. I don't think that violence is a regular holiday tradition, I say. Maybe it will be from now on. Tessa can punch me out next year,
Landon jokes in a lame attempt to lighten the mood.
Maybe I will.
Tessa sticks her tongue out at him, and I smile slightly.
It won't happen again,
I say, and look at my dad. My dad looks at me thoughtfully.
It was partly my fault, son. I should have known it wasn't going to go well. But I hope now that you let some of the anger out, we can get back to trying to develop a relationship, he says to me.
Tessa puts her small hands over mine to comfort me, and I nod.
Yeah. Cool,
I say timidly.
Yeah.
I chew on the inside of my cheek. Landon slaps his hands on his knees and stands.
Well, we should get going, but let me know if you really want to go to the game. Thank you both for having us over today.
Tessa hugs the three of them as I lean against the wall. I was nice enough today, but there's no way that I'm hugging anyone. Except Tessa, of course. But after my politeness today, she should be giving me more than a hug. I stare at the way her loose dress hides her beautiful curves, and literally have to talk myself down before I drag her to the bedroom. I remember the first time I saw her in that hideous dress. Well, back then it was hideous to me. Now I sort of adore it. She came out of the dorm looking like she was getting ready to sell Bibles door to door. She rolled her eyes at me when I teased her as she climbed into my car, but I had no idea that she would make me fall in love with her. I wave once more as our company leaves and let out a deep breath that I hadn't realized I was holding. A hockey game with Landon. What the fuck have I gotten myself into?
That was so nice. You were so nice.
Tessa praises me and immediately kicks off her high heels before lining them neatly by the door. I shrug.
It was okay, I guess.
It was better than okay.
Tessa beams at me.
Whatever,
I state with an exaggerated grumpiness, and she giggles.
I really love you. You know that, don't you?
She asks as she walks around the living room, picking up after everyone. I tease her about her cleaning habits, but the place would be trashed if it were only me living here.
So, the watch? You like it?
She asks.
No, it's hideous. And I don't wear watches.
I think it looks nice.
What about your bracelet?
I hesitantly ask her.
It's beautiful.
Oh, I look away.
It's fancy and expensive,
I add.
Yeah, I feel bad that they spend all that money on it when I won't really be wearing it. I'll have to wear it when they're around once or twice. Why won't you wear it? Because I already have a favorite bracelet.
She shakes her wrist back and forth, making the charms hit one another.
Oh, you like mine better?
I can't hide my stupid smile. She looks at me with a lightly chastising look.
Of course I do, Harden.
I try to hold on to some of the little dignity I have left, but I can't help but scoop her up by the back of her legs. When she screams, I laugh loudly. I don't remember ever laughing this way in my entire life.
Chapter 53. Tessa. The next morning I wake up early, shower, and with my towel still wrapped around me, quickly start a pot of that elixir of life, coffee. As I watch it brew, an awareness bubbles up in me that I'm a little nervous to see Kimberly. I don't know what her reaction to Harden and me getting back together will be. She's not judgmental, but flipping the situation around, I don't know what my reaction would be if it were her going through the same thing with Christian. She doesn't know all of the details, but she knows they're bad enough for me to keep them from her. With a steaming mug in hand, I walk over to the large window in the living room. The snow is falling in thick clusters. I wish it would stop already. I hate driving in the snow, and most of the way to Vance is freeway.
Morning.
Harden's voice startles me from the hall. Morning, I smile and take another sip of my coffee. Shouldn't you be sleeping? I ask him as he wipes the sleep from his eyes.
Shouldn't you be dressed?
He retaliates. I smile and walk past him toward the bedroom to get myself dressed, but he tugs on the towel and pulls it from my body, making me shriek and rush into the room. Hearing footsteps behind me, I lock the door. God knows what will happen if I let him in. My skin flames at the thought, but I don't have time for that right now.
Nice. Very mature,
he says through the wood. I never claim to be mature. I smile and pad to the closet where I decide on a long black skirt and red blouse. Not my most flattering outfit, but it's my first day back and it's snowing. After I put light makeup on in the full-length mirror in the closet, all I have left to do is dry my hair. When I open the door, Harden is nowhere to be found. I quickly half-dry my hair before pulling it back into a secure bun. Harden? I grab my purse and take out my phone to call him. No answer. Where is he? My heart begins to pound as I walk through the apartment. After a minute, the front door clicks open and he steps inside, covered in snow. Where were you? I was getting nervous.
Nervous? Of what?
He asks. I don't know, really. That you were hurt or something? I sound ridiculous.
I was just scraping and starting your car for you so it's warm and ready when you get down there.
He shrugs off his jacket and removes his soaked boots, leaving a puddle of slush on the concrete. I can't hide my surprise. Who are you? I laugh.
Don't start that shit, or I'll go back down and slash your tires,
he says. I roll my eyes and laugh at his empty threat. Well, thank you.
I can drive you?
His eyes meet mine. Now I really don't know who he is. He was polite for the most part yesterday, and now he's heating my car and offering to drive me to work, not to mention the way he laughed so hard last night that his eyes were brimming with moisture. Honesty really does look good on him.
Or not,
he adds when I take too long to reply. I would love it, I say, and he puts his boots back on. When we get downstairs and start pulling out of the lot, Harden remarks,
Good thing your car is such shit, or someone could have stolen it while it was down here running.
It is not shit, I defend, eyeing the small crack in the passenger window. Anyway, I was thinking next week when classes start back up, we can drive to campus together, right? Your classes are around the same time as mine, and on the days I go to Vance, I'll just take my car and meet you back at home.
Okay.
He stares ahead out the windshield. What?
I just wish you'd have told me what classes you were taking.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe I could have taken one with you instead of just you and Landon signing up together and becoming eternal study buddies.
You've already taken French and American Lit, and I didn't think you'd be interested in world religion.
I'm not,
he huffs. I know this conversation isn't going to go anywhere, so when I see the big V on the Vance building, I'm grateful. The snow has slowed, but Harden pulls up close to the front door to minimize my exposure to the cold.
I'll be here to get you at 4,
he says, and I nod before leaning across the small space to kiss him goodbye. Thank you for driving me, I whisper against his lips, touching them once more. He mumbles, and I pull away. When I step out of the car, Trevor appears only a few feet away, his black suit speckled with white snow. My stomach churns as he gives me a warm smile.
Hey, long time no. Tess.
Harden calls my name and shuts the car door to walk around to my side. Trevor's eyes go to Harden, then back to me, and his smile disappears.
You forgot something,
Harden says, handing me a pen. A pen? I raise my eyebrow. He nods and wraps his arms around my waist, pressing his lips forcefully against mine. If we weren't in a parking lot, and I didn't feel like this was his sick way of marking his territory, I would melt under the aggressive manner with which his tongue parts my lips. When I pull away, his face holds a smug expression. I shiver and rub my hands over my arms. I should have worn a heavier jacket.
Nice to see you. Trenton, was it?
Harden says with false sincerity. I know damn well he knows his name. He's so rude.
Yeah, nice to see you too,
Trevor mumbles and disappears through the sliding doors. What the hell was that? I scowl at Harden.
What?
He smirks. I groan. You're such a pig.
Stay away from him, Tess. Please.
Harden commands, kissing me on the forehead to soften his harsh words. I roll my eyes and stomp inside the building like a child. How was your Christmas? Kimberly asks as I grab a donut and coffee. I probably shouldn't drink another cup, but Harden's caveman act has annoyed me, and the smell of the coffee beans alone calms me. Oh, you know, I took Harden back, then found out he made sex tapes with multiple girls, ruining one of their lives, but then I took him back again. My mother showed up at my apartment and caused a scene, so now she and I aren't speaking. Harden's mother was in town, so we had to pretend we were together, even though we weren't, which basically brought us back together, and it was smooth sailing until my mother told his mother about him taking my virginity for a bet. Oh, and Christmas? To commemorate that holiday, Harden beat the shit out of his dad and punched his hand through a glass cabinet. You know, the usual. Was great. How was yours? I say, going with the short version. Kimberly dives into her amazing Christmas with Christian and his son. The little boy cried when he saw the new bicycle that Santa brought him. He had even called Kimberly Mommy Kim, which made her heart warm, but made her slightly uncomfortable at the same time. It's strange, you know, she says, thinking of myself as someone's guardian or whatever I am. I'm not married, not even engaged to Christian, so I don't know my place with Smith. I think Smith and Christian are both lucky to have you in their lives, whatever title you may have, I assure her. You're wise beyond your years, Ms. Young. She smiles, and I rush to my office after glancing at the clock. By the time lunch comes around, Kimberly's not at her desk. When the elevator stops at the third floor, I silently scream as Trevor steps into it. Hey, I say, my voice small. I don't know why this is so uncomfortable. It's not like I was dating Trevor or anything. We went on one date, and I had a nice time. I enjoy his company, and he enjoys mine. That is all.
How was your break?
He asks, his blue eyes shining under the fluorescent lighting. I wish people would stop asking me that today. Nice. Yours?
It was nice. Had a huge turnout at the shelter downtown. Fed over 300 people.
He beams proudly. Wow, 300 people? That's incredible, I smile. He is so kind, and the tension between us is somewhat diminished.
It was really great. Hopefully next year we'll have even more resources and we can feed 500.
As we both step off the elevator, he adds,
Are you going to lunch?
Yeah, I was going to walk over to Firehouse since I didn't drive myself, I say, not wanting to discuss Harden and me at the moment.
You can ride with me if you want. I'm going to Panera, but I can run you by Firehouse first. You shouldn't walk in the snow,
he offers politely. You know, Panera's good. I'll just come with. I smile and we head to his car. The heated seats in his BMW warm me up before we're even out of the parking lot. At the eatery, Trevor and I stay mostly silent while we order our lunch and sit down at a small table toward the back.
I'm thinking about moving to Seattle,
Trevor tells me as I dip a cracker into my broccoli soup. Really? When? I ask loudly, trying to speak over the many voices of the lunch crowd.
March. Christian has offered me a job there, a promotion to head of finance at the new branch, and I'm strongly considering taking it.
That's really great news. Congratulations, Trevor. He wipes the corners of his mouth with a napkin.
Thank you. I would love to run the entire finance department, and even more, I'd love to move to Seattle.
We talk about Seattle for the rest of the meal, and by the time we finish, all I can think is, why can't Hardin feel the same about Seattle? When we get back to Vance, the snow has turned to freezing rain, and the two of us rush into the building. I'm shivering by the time we reach the elevator. Trevor offers me his suit jacket, but I quickly decline.
So you and Hardin are seeing each other again?
He finally asks, a question I had been waiting for. Yeah, we are working through things. I chew on my cheek.
Oh, you're happy then?
He looks down at me. I look up at him. Yeah.
Well, I'm happy for you.
He runs his hands over his black hair, and I know he's lying, but I appreciate him not making this any more awkward than it already is. That's part of his goodness, too. When we step off of the elevator, Kimberly's face holds a strange expression. I'm confused by the way she's looking at Trevor until I follow her eyes to where Hardin is leaning against the wall.
Chapter 54. Hardin.
Really? Really?
I ask, my hands flying into the air dramatically. Tessa's mouth falls open, but no words come out as she looks at fucking Trevor, then back to me.
God damn it, Tessa!
Anger courses through me, and I begin to envision the multiple ways I want to beat the shit out of this boy.
Thanks for lunch, Tessa. See you later,
Trevor calmly says before walking away. When I look at Kimberly, she shakes her head in disapproval before grabbing a folder off her desk and leaving us alone. Tessa glares at her friend, and I almost laugh. Tessa defends herself and walks toward her office.
We just got lunch, Hardin. I can have lunch with whoever I want to, so do not start with me,
she warns. As soon as we're both inside, I close and lock her door.
You know how I feel about him.
I lean against the wall.
You need to be quiet. This is my job.
Internship,
I correct her.
What?
Her eyes open wide.
You're not an actual employee, just an intern,
I say.
So we're back to this then?
No, I was just stating a fact.
I'm an asshole. Another fact.
Really?
She challenges. I clench my jaw and stare at my stubborn girl.
Why are you even here?
She asks me, and sits down in her chair behind her desk.
I came to take you to lunch so you didn't have to go out in the snow,
I say. But it seems like you know how to get other guys to help you out.
It's not that big of a deal. We went to eat and came right back. You need to calm down with the jealousy.
It's not jealousy.
Of course it's jealousy. And fear. But I'm not admitting that.
We are friends, Hardin. Let it go and come here.
No,
I whine.
Please,
she begs. And I roll my eyes at my lack of self-control as I walk over to her. She leans against her desk and pulls me to stand in front of her.
I only want you, Hardin. I love you, and I do not want to be with anyone else. Only you.
She stares at me with such intensity that I look away.
I'm sorry that you don't like him, but you can't tell me who I can be friends with.
When she smiles at me, I try to hold on to my anger, but feel it slowly slipping.
Damn, is she good. I can't stand him. He's harmless. Really. Besides, he's moving to Seattle in March.
Ice fills my veins, but I try to remain neutral.
He is?
Of course fucking Trevor is moving to Seattle, the place Tessa wants to be. The place I'm not moving to and never will. I wonder if she's thought about going with him.
No,
she wouldn't. Would she? Fuck, I don't know.
Yeah, so he won't be around. Please, just leave him alone.
She squeezes my hands. I look down at her.
Fine. Fuck, fine. I won't touch him.
I sigh. I can't believe I just agreed to let him get away with trying to kiss her.
Thank you. I love you so much,
she tells me, her blue-gray eyes staring into mine. I'm still mad at him for trying to seduce you, and you for not listening to me.
I know. Now be quiet.
She licks her bottom lip.
Let me set you at ease,
she asks with a shaky voice.
What? I want to show you that I love only you.
Her cheeks flush deep crimson, and her hands move to my belt as she stands on her toes to kiss me. I am confused, angry, and incredibly turned on. She runs her tongue over my bottom lip. I groan immediately and lift her onto the desk. Her trembling hands fumble with my belt again, this time removing it. I lift the bottom of her ridiculously long skirt up to the tops of her thighs, thankful that she didn't wear tights today.
I want you, babe.
She breathes against my neck, wrapping her legs around my waist. I moan at the way those words sound coming from her full lips, and I'm loving her sudden dominance as she takes control, tugging my jeans down my legs. Aren't you? I ask, referring to her period.
Yeah, you aren't.
She blushes and takes my length into her hand. I hiss, and she smiles while pumping slowly, too slowly.
Don't tease me,
I groan, and she works her hand faster as she sucks the skin on my neck. If this is her way of making amends to me, I welcome her to fuck up more often, as long as it doesn't involve her and another guy. I pull her head back by her hair to look at me.
I want to fuck you.
She shakes her head no, and a shy smile plays on her lips.
Yes. We can't.
She looks toward the door.
We have before. I mean, because of, you know.
It's not so bad. I shrug. It really isn't as bad as people assume it is.
Is that normal?
Yes, it's normal, I decree, and her eyes widen. Despite how shy she's acting, her pupils are blown out, letting me know how bad she wants it too. Her hand remains on me, slowly moving, and I spread her legs farther. I tug on the string of her tampon and dispose of it in the trash. Then, moving her hand away, roll the condom on. She climbs down, then bends over the desk, lifting her skirt up over her ass.
Fuck, if this isn't the hottest thing I've seen in my entire life, despite the circumstances.
Chapter 55, Tessa. Anticipation builds as Harden pushes the thick material of my skirt farther up my waist.
Relax, Tess. Shut your mind off. It's not going to be any different than it usually is,
Harden promises. I'm trying to hide my embarrassment as he slides into me. It doesn't feel any different. Well, if anything, it actually feels better. More daring. Doing something so out of my norm, so taboo, makes it all the more exciting. Harden's hand runs down my spine, making me shiver in anticipation. His mood has totally shifted. Given his stance when I came out of the elevator, I had expected him to cause a much bigger scene.
Are you okay?
He asks. I nod, moaning an answer. One of his hands digs into my hip as the other grips my hair, holding me in place.
You feel so good. So good, baby.
His voice is tight as he slowly drags himself in and out of me. Harden's hand moves from my hair down to my breasts. He tugs at the neckline of my blouse, exposing my chest. His hand finds my nipple, tugging at it gently before he rolls it between his fingers. I gasp and arch my back as he repeats the action over and over. Oh God, I utter, then clamp my mouth shut. I'm aware that we are in my office, but I can't seem to worry in the way that I normally would. My thoughts begin with Harden and end with pleasure. The reality of this and the taboo around our act isn't relevant to me right now.
Feels good, doesn't it, baby? I told you. Nothing different. Well, nothing different bad, at least.
He moans and wraps his arm around my waist. I nearly slip from the edge of my desk as he changes positions, resting my back against the hard wood of my desk.
I fucking love you. You know that, don't you?
Harden pants into my ear. I nod, but I know that he needs more.
Say it,
he insists. I know you love me, I assure him. My body is tightening as he straightens his back, bringing his fingers to rub over my clit. I lean up, trying to watch his fingers work their magic on my body, but the sensation is too much.
Come, baby. Go on.
Harden picks up the pace and lifts one of my legs higher into the air. His eyes roll back in his head. My release is so close, so intense, and so overpowering that I can't see anything but stars as I grip his inked arms. I press my lips together hard to keep from calling out his name as I come undone. Harden's release isn't as composed. He leans down, burying his head in my neck, calling my name once before pressing his mouth into my skin to silence his voice. Harden pulls out, places a kiss on my ear. I stand up and adjust my clothes, figuring I should get to the restroom soon. God, this is weird. I can't deny that I enjoyed it, but it's hard to get past the idea that has been so ingrained in my mind.
Ready?
He asks. For what? I say, my breathing ragged.
To go home.
I can't go home, it's only 2. I gesture to the clock on the wall.
Call Vance's office on our way out. Come home with me.
Harden instructs, and grabs my purse from the desk.
Though you may want to replug yourself before we go.
He pulls a tampon from my purse and taps me on the nose with it. I swat his arm. Stop saying that, I groan, stuffing it back into my bag as he laughs. 3 days later, I'm waiting patiently for Harden to pick me up, staring out the large glass windows in the lobby, thankful that it hasn't snowed of late. The only evidence of the snowfall from days before is the black sludge littering the dips in the sidewalk. Much to my annoyance, Harden has insisted on driving me to work every day since our fight over Trevor. I'm still surprised that I was able to calm him down the way that I did. I don't know what I would have done if he'd assaulted Trevor in the office. Kimberly would have been forced to call security, and Harden surely would have been arrested. Harden was supposed to be here at 4:30, and it's now 5:15. Nearly everyone has left for the day, and multiple people have offered to give me a ride home, including Trevor, though he did say it from about 10 dozen feet away. I don't want things to be awkward between us, and I would still like to be friends, despite Harden's orders. Finally, Harden's car pulls into the lot, and I step outside into the chilling wind. It is warmer today than it has been, the bright sun adding a small amount of warmth, but not enough.
Sorry for being late. I fell asleep,
he tells me as I climb into the warm car. It's okay, I assure him, and stare out the window. I'm slightly nervous about New Year's Eve tonight and don't want to add fighting with Harden to my list of stressors today. We haven't decided what we are actually doing yet, which drives me insane. I want to know the details and have the entire night planned. I've been debating whether or not to reply to the text messages that Steph sent me a couple of days ago. Part of me really wants to see her, to show her and everyone that they did not break me, though they humiliated me, yes, and that I'm stronger than they think. That being said, the other half of me thinks it will be incredibly awkward to see Harden's friends. I know they'll probably think I'm an idiot for being with him again. I won't know how to act around them, and honestly, I'm afraid that everything will be different when Harden and I are not in our own small bubble. What if he ignores me the entire time? Or what if Molly's there? My blood boils at the thought.
Where do you want to go?
He asks. I had earlier mentioned that I needed something to wear tonight, so I say, the mall is fine. We need to decide where we're going so I know what to get.
Do you really want to hang out with everyone, or just go out, the two of us? I'm still rooting for staying in.
I don't want to stay in. We stay in all the time, I smile. I love staying in with Harden, but he used to be out all the time, and sometimes I worry if I keep him in the house too much, he'll get bored with me. When we arrive at the mall, Harden drops me off at the entrance to Macy's and I hurry inside. By the time he joins me, I already have 3 dresses draped over my arms.
What is that?
Harden scrunches his nose at the canary yellow dress on top.
That color is hideous,
he says. You find every color hideous, apart from black, of course. He shrugs at my truthful statement and runs his finger along the fabric of the gold dress underneath.
I like this one,
he says. Really? That was the one I was unsure about. I don't want to stand out, you know? He arches his brow.
And you wouldn't be standing out in yellow?
He has a point. I place the yellow dress back on the rack and hold up a white strapless, then ask, what about this one?
You should try them on,
he suggests with a cheeky smile. Pervert, I tease.
Always,
he smirks and follows me to the dressing room. You are not coming in here, I scold him, and close the door to the stall, leaving just enough room to pop my head out. He pouts before taking a seat on the black leather couch outside the dressing room.
I want to see each one,
he calls, when I close the door the rest of the way. Be quiet. I hear him chuckle, and I want to open the door just to see his smile, but I decide against it. I put the white strapless dress on first and struggle to zip it up the back. Tight. Too tight and short. Way too short. Finally, I get the thin fabric to zip, and I tug at the bottom of the dress before opening the door to the dressing room. Harden? I almost whisper.
Holy shit.
He practically gasps when he turns the corner and takes in the sight of me in the barely there dress. It's short, I flush.
Yeah, you aren't getting that,
he says as his eyes move up and down my body. If I want to, I will, I say, reminding him that he will not tell me what to wear. He glares at me for a moment before speaking.
I know. I just meant you shouldn't. It's too revealing for your taste.
That's what I thought, I hum, and look in the full-length mirror once more. Harden smirks, and I see him check out my bottom.
It is incredibly sexy, though.
Next, I say, and walk back into the dressing room. The gold dress feels silky against my skin, despite the entire dress being covered in tiny gold discs. It falls to the middle of my thighs, and the sleeves are quarter-length. This is much more me, only a touch riskier than usual. The sleeves give the illusion of the dress being more conservative, but the way the material clings to my body and the short length say otherwise.
Tess,
Harden whines impatiently from directly outside. I open the door, and his reaction makes my heart flutter.
Christ,
he swallows. You like it? I chew my bottom lip. I feel pretty confident in the dress, especially after Harden's cheeks turn pink and he shifts his weight from one foot to the other.
Very much.
This is such a normal couple thing to be doing, trying on clothes for him at Macy's. It feels strange yet very comforting. I was terrified a few days ago when he found out about my dinner with Trevor in Seattle. I'm going to get this one then, I say. After finding a pair of thick and rather intimidating black pumps, we head to check out. Harden pesters me to let him pay, but I refuse, this time winning the battle.
You're right. You really should be buying me something, you know, to make up for the lack of Christmas gifts I received,
he teases as we exit the mall. I swat at his arm, but he grabs my wrist before I can connect. His lips press a light kiss against my palm before he encases my hand in his and leads me to the car. Holding hands in public is never our thing. As soon as the thought crosses my mind, he seems to realize what we're doing and drops my hand. One step at a time, I suppose. Back at the apartment, after I've declared for the 8th time that we should hang out with his friends, my nerves begin to get the best of me as I imagine the possibilities of how the night could turn out. But we can't hide from the world forever. How Harden behaves around his old friends will really show me how he truly feels about me, about us. When I shower, I shave my legs 3 times, staying under the hot water until it is no longer warm. When I get out, I ask Harden, "What did Nate say about tonight?" I'm unsure what I want the answer to be.
He texted to meet them at the house, my old house, at 9. They're having a big thing, apparently.
I glance at the clock, already 7. Okay, I'll be ready. I do my makeup and blow dry my hair quickly. The hair is in tight curls, and I pin my bangs back as usual. I look nice. Boring, the same as I always do. I need to look better than ever before for my comeback. This is my way of showing them that they didn't get the best of me. If Molly is there, she'll certainly be dressed to get attention, including Harden's. And as much as I hate her, she is gorgeous. Molly's pink hair burning in the back of my mind, I grab my black eyeliner and draw a thick line across my top eyelid. For once, the line is straight, blessedly. I do the same on the bottom and add more pink to my cheeks before pulling the bobby pin from my hair and tossing it in the trash. Quickly, I retrieve the pin from the top of the trash. Okay, so maybe I'm not quite ready to throw it away yet, but I'll skip it tonight. I flip my head down and rake my fingers through my tight curls. The reflection in the mirror shocks me. She looks like she belongs in a nightclub. She looks wild and sexy even. The last time that I wore this much makeup was when Steph gave me a makeover and Harden taunted me. This time, I look even better.
It's 8:30, Tess,
Harden warns me from the living room. I check the mirror one last time and take a deep breath before rushing to the bedroom to get dressed before Harden can see me. What if he thinks I look bad? Last time he didn't care for my new and improved look. I shut off my doubtful thoughts and pull the dress over my head, zip it up, and step into my new pumps. Maybe I should wear tights. No, I need to calm down and stop overthinking this.
Tessa, we really need...
Harden's voice gets louder as he comes into the room, but then stops mid-sentence. Do I look...
Yes. Fuck yes.
He practically growls. You don't think it's too much, all the makeup?
No, it's... It's nice. I mean, it's good.
He stammers. I try not to laugh at his apparent loss for words, something that never occurs with him.
Let's go. We need to go now or we won't make it out of this apartment,
he mutters. His reaction has given my confidence an extreme boost. I know it shouldn't, but it does. He looks flawless as usual, wearing a simple black t-shirt and snug black jeans. The black Converses I've quickly become fond of complete the look I know as Harden. Chapter 56. Tessa. The fray quietly sings about forgiveness as we pull up to Harden's old fraternity house. The drive here was nerve-wracking, and both of us stayed silent. Memories, mostly bad memories, flood my mind, but I push them back. Harden and I are in a relationship now, a real one, so he'll be different now, won't he? Harden stays close to me as we walk through the crowded house to the smoke-filled living room. Red cups are immediately placed in our hands, but Harden discards his quickly before taking mine from me. I reach to take it back, and he frowns.
I don't think we should drink tonight,
he says. I don't think you should drink tonight.
Fine, only one,
he warns, and hands me back the cup.
Scott,
a familiar voice calls. Nate appears in the kitchen and pats Harden's shoulder before giving me a friendly smile. I'd almost forgotten how cute he is. I try to picture what he'd look like without tattoos and piercings, but I can't seem to do it.
Well, Tessa, you look... different,
he says. Harden rolls his eyes and grabs my drink from my hand to take a sip. I want to take it from him, but I don't want to cause a fight. One drink won't hurt. I slide my phone into Harden's back pocket so I can hold my cup more easily. Well, well, well... Look who it is, a female voice says at the same time as a mop of pink hair steps around a big round guy.
Great,
Harden groans as Molly the Skank walks toward us. Long time no see, Harden, she says with a sinister grin.
Yep.
He takes another drink from the cup. Her eyes move to me. Oh, Tessa, I didn't see you there, she says with obvious sarcasm. I ignore her, and Nate hands me a new drink. Did you miss me? Molly asks Harden. She's wearing more than usual, which is to say she's still barely clothed. Her black shirt is ripped down the front, purposely, I assume. Her red shorts are incredibly short, with tears in the fabric going up the sides, revealing even more pale skin.
Not so much,
Harden says without looking at her. I bring the cup to my lips to hide my smirk. I'm sure you did, she responds.
Fuck off,
he groans. She rolls her eyes like it's all a game. Geez, someone is pissy.
Come on, Tessa.
Harden grabs my hand and pulls me away. We walk to the kitchen, leaving an annoyed Molly and a laughing Nate behind. Tessa, Steph squeals as she jumps up from one of the couches. Damn, girl, you look so hot. Wow. Then she adds, I would actually wear that. Thanks, I smile. It's a little awkward seeing Steph, but not nearly as bad as seeing Molly. I have honestly missed Steph, and I'm hoping that tonight goes smoothly enough that we can explore the possibility of rebuilding our friendship. She hugs me. I'm glad you came.
I'm going to go talk to Logan. Stay right here,
Harden instructs before walking away. Steph eyes him with humor.